All right, Genesis 27. We're going to get into Genesis 27. And this is a big chapter, guys, and I want you to listen up. Now, God's rhythm is interesting because the last time I taught, you guys can correct me, but I believe as I taught on Genesis, wasn't I into the chapter where Esau sold his birthright to Jacob? Well, interestingly enough, the chapter that I get tonight is when actually Isaac blesses Jacob, totally fulfilling the call of God. 27, 1 through 5, and let's read it tonight. Now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son," and he said to him, "Here I am." Isaac said, "Behold, now I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die." Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home. And then we read on in verses 6, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me, that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now, therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me two choice young goats from there, that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. Then he shall bring it to your father, you shall bring it to your father, that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death." Jacob answered his mother, "Rebekah, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, then I will be as a deceiver in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." Now I want you to understand something, and we'll get into this in a little bit. Genesis 25, what does the Lord tell Rebekah? The younger will serve the older. So I want to bring a couple things in here. The purposes of God are working out in that, what I like to call that sovereign way. She's basically telling Jacob to deceive his father. She's going to go along with it. I joked about this before and said that it's possible that Jacob was the first mama's boy in recorded history. I don't know. But the reality, I want you to get a hold of this. She's basically, they're going to deceive him. He has the power to bless the firstborn son. Normally the blessing goes to the firstborn. But in this sense, Jacob, it's already been said, the younger will serve the older. They're in the womb and the Lord tells her, remember, there's two nations in your womb and they're struggling. And even when Esau's born, and you know, it's so funny. I was a little brother, so I can really relate to this. Even as Esau's born, Jacob's, you know, holding his ankle. He's holding him back. He's already holding him back. I can remember times, you know, trying to go out with my brothers, and they were always, you know, telling me to get lost and tell me they pound me, and, you know, and I was clingy. But this is interesting. She's telling Jacob to deceive his father. Esau had sold his birthright. Isaac was going to go ahead with the plan to bless Esau, but I want you to put something in your heads today. God's working through the situation regardless of what you think you're understanding, okay? And the interesting thing is, I believe that when Esau and Jacob were born, okay, guys? I actually believe that when they were born and that word came to Rebekah, I have no doubt in my mind, Rebekah told Jacob what she heard from the Lord. But what you're seeing here from Isaac's going ahead with the tradition of blessing the firstborn, regardless of what the Lord said. I want you to think about this. This is like four different things working how they should not work, full of even cunning and deception, even Esau being stubborn, and even though it was said the younger will serve the older, Isaac's not having all that. He probably said, you know what, whatever that means, it means, but he's going to bless Esau. Esau's going to inherit the blessing, but in God's plan, Jacob was going to inherit the blessing. But I want you to think about something. As we look at this situation, God is working through all of this. Now, I say this to give you a confidence tonight. One of the things that bothered me the most, and I spent years as a believer, and I made a vow when God kind of took me to the woodshed 1,000 times that I would help people. One of the biggest things the enemy always tells us is you're missing something somewhere, somehow. You're missing it. You should have did this. You didn't do this. Are you sure you're not missing it? Are you sure God's left you behind? Are you sure the Lord, you didn't hear him the right way? And what often happens is, I believe we need to be obedient children. But I got to tell you something. What I've seen in the life lesson going on is I've seen the Lord working sometimes even in spite of man. Sometimes even regardless of our best intentions to try to bring God's will about on our own. And I can think of so many times where you get a feeling like, am I missing it? Did I do something wrong? And you got to understand something. God is mindful of your frame. And there's one thing when you fight God with total disregard for his will. But there's another thing as you're living out your Christian faith. There's another thing when you're submitting to the Lord. And we are not to live in this thing like, oh, did I miss it? Did something go by me? Because it's one of the most dangerous impulses I've ever seen. I've seen Christians make the worst mistakes when they get restless in their spirit, when they get stirred up, and somehow they got to make something move. I'm actually old enough now to actually with authority say it's a disaster unmitigated because I did it. I've seen the problems of being jumping God's timing. I've seen the problem of what happens when somehow, even though God created the universe and everything in it and every cell in your body, to where I actually think somehow he lost track of me. A lot of danger happens. So God's working through in a very imperfect situation. Now, a lot of scholars I read were kind of, you know what I'm saying, you know, talked about a broken family with Esau and Jacob. And they, in a way, they kind of read the story like we were in 2019 or 2010 or the 21st century. And I found a lot of the commentary by some men that are pretty lofty in their theology. But I found it in a way trying to make sense sometimes or trying to diagram the family. These are a people living in tents. This is thousands of years ago. So in a way, guys, trying to put your head in the situation is not the easiest thing to do. That said, be confident. Is God lost you? Have you lost God? Are you sincerely serving the Lord? And if you are, then you need to know God's working it. But I got to say this tonight. My heart sits not heavy, but I've watched God bring changes in my life even in this last year that are incredible good. And he had to walk me through them. He had to very, 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 very carefully walk me through them. He didn't put my arm against the wall. But the way he brought me to the knowledge of his will in areas, the way he even, you know, moved me up here again is a beautiful story for another time. But it is so totally the hand of God. So be confident tonight. God's got a hand on you. Know something. That he's working stuff. Sometimes you're agreeing with him and you're working it. Sometimes you don't have a clue and he's still working stuff. And that's a good thing. Genesis 27:6. Rebekah said to her son Jacob, we're rereading it. But behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats from there that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father and he may eat so that he may bless you before his death. Now, basically, he says, you know, my father may feel me. And he will bring a curse on me, you know what I'm saying, and not a blessing. But his mother, being a good Jewish mother, said to him, your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. So it's interesting because at this point you're looking, Rebecca knows her husband Isaac. In fact, she knows Isaac better than Jacob knows Isaac. And she is so confident because you do realize that Isaac could have handed out a curse. Absolutely. He had the authority to hand out a curse. But Jesus says, obey. In verse 14, so he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the young goats on his hands and the smooth part of his neck. And she also gave the savory food in the bread which she had made her son Jacob. Now keep in mind, when you think of goats, their fur is like really, it's rough. It could almost hurt. But this is not those goats. These are what they call the camel goat of the east. The camel goat of the east has a very, very smooth fur. Very smooth, but hairy. So she kind of puts on his smooth part and wraps him, all right? She took the liability on yourself, all right? And then we're going to read, even right now, we're going to read Genesis 27. And I want to get into the whole blessing that happens. I think it's 27, 18 through 29. Hold on just a second, guys. 18 through 29. Then he came to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Get up, please sit and eat of my game that you may bless me." Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me." Now this is a pretty severe lie, guys. I just want you to notice this. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come close that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." So he said, "Bring it to me and I will eat of my son's game that I may bless you." And he brought it to him and he ate. He also brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please come close and kiss me, my son." So he came close and kissed him. And when he had smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and an abundance of grain in new wine. May people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you." Okay? So this is, listen, I want you to look at how imperfect is this. Let's be completely honest, guys. How imperfect is this? Extremely. There's fallibility. There's deception. Absolutely. I want to tell you something to get you a little bit out of your God box tonight. By no means does God say, go ahead and lie to make good happen. But in this particular situation, what's interesting is God had already said Jacob would serve, that Esau would serve Jacob, that the older would actually serve the younger, meaning the secondborn would actually get the blessing and the power of the firstborn. Now, some scholars, and I'm kind of opening this up, kind of say, you know, God worked in spite of Rebekah, in spite of Jacob, you know what I mean, in spite of their scheming. And I don't necessarily have a problem, and there's a saying, when the scripture doesn't make plain sense, when it makes plain sense, don't attempt to make another sense of it. But you're seeing something going on here that's really heavy, guys. Now, when Isaac speaks into Jacob and he blesses him, he has the ability to bless him, guys. Now, what I'm wondering, and I want to kind of parallel this a little bit, there are times, and you got to ask yourself a question, are you ready for this? There are times God would wish you to bless, to speak into someone and to bless them. Nowadays, if I say, Dallas, let's go talk and bless that person, mostly in our minds, and you tell me if I'm wrong, we're thinking to uplift them, you know what I mean, make them feel better. Blessing is a whole lot deeper than simply making somebody feel better. Now, when somebody uplifts me or even speaks prophetically, I will go, "You blessed me." But I want to take this, and I believe the Lord wants you to see something a little deeper tonight. This ability to declare, to bless, that Isaac had and was able to speak into Jacob, it was a blessing. There wasn't two blessings. You're going to notice as we read on, he couldn't give the same blessing to one that the other. There was one blessing of God that he could speak over Jacob. I want to tell you something. Unless we start reserving our mouths to speak the oracles of God, unless we start sorting out the way we speak, your mouth will not be ready to declare powerful things. I'm going to say it again. Unless we start allowing God to change our mouth so that it is used for the oracles of God, Instead of speaking things that are contrary to the scripture, speaking things that are contrary, that are forbidden, that God would rather have us not, you're not getting your mouth ready to be able to declare the blessing that he may put on you for another. Isn't it interesting that the scripture says that God will judge us for every idle word? It doesn't say every idle action. It says every idle word. Speaking is so important. I really believe that we can go years as Christians not guarding our mouth and, quite frankly, sinning with it left and right every other minute. Now, I don't say that to put one of you down or another, because, quite frankly, I think this is a lesson we need, the church needs, and America needs all over. But I think about Jacob and and Isaac blessing his son Jacob. These blessings were real. They were what God was doing. And yet there is a blessing he could give to him. There are times, and I believe this is something that I've gotten from the Lord prophetically. We are coming into a time again where there's going to be declarations and prophetic words and blessings that are going to be spoken over people that are going to shake the foundations. See, we've been in a world and in a country and in a culture, even in Christian culture, where we talk even real things or truths, but we speak them so idle, with no faith, with no power, with no commissioning from the Lord. And I just stop here really mostly because as I got here, the Lord told me to anchor down for a minute in this truth for you guys. We got to start clearing our mouths out for the good things of God. Your mouth cannot be a source of doubt, fear, plus some faith. In fact, God wants to flush it out to where your mouth speaks the oracles of God. He wants to flush it out. He doesn't want you to be a fountain with two waters coming out of it, because it says these things ought not be. But here Isaac is blessing Jacob, whom he thinks is Esau. The blessing is animated and supernatural. And whoever he speaks it over, it's going to stick to. But it sticks to Jacob, whom he thinks is Esau. And yet, in all the fallible mistakes, there are mistakes here. Here is God's plan cruising through. One thing I notice in the Christian body is we've put God in so many boxes and we've limited God and the way we talk and what we think he can and can't do. Nothing is to where we should get fatalistic and not care about life and not care about conduct, because all that matters. In fact, it says without holiness, we will not even see God. But the realities of the Father working sovereignly through a situation is really, really important, guys. And if you're looking here, how does any of this strike you as like above board? The only thing above board is that God already made a plan that that Esau would serve Jacob. And God already made a plan that there was two nations in her womb and the older would serve the younger, and that it would go down through Jacob's line, not Esau. A lot of people try to explain beyond that. But here's my explanation. They go, well, you know, Esau was this, or God knew what he was going to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, the scripture really doesn't infer such a thing. God made a choice. He made a beloved choice. As a creator, do you realize God has a choice to choose as he wishes? So he didn't say he was going to kill Esau, but Jacob was going to be the one to get the blessing. So we need to see God's ability. And this story is wrought with errors. In fact, this story doesn't condone and tell you now lie to get the best of God. This story doesn't condone any of that, but what you are seeing is a sovereign hand of God working. Now, I will say this too, because it was already determined by God that Esau would serve Jacob, you can ask the question, but there's no answer. What if mom goes a different route? But here's the funny thing. Isaac's going a different route, am I right? He hears, you know, there was two nations, one, the younger is going to serve the older. He's not having that. So he wants to bless Esau. Isn't it interesting? And I want to say this. God's at work. I want you to be, you know what I'm saying. I want you to see God's ability. Mark this down, but don't go there. Hebrews 12:14. I'm just going to read it. God says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. We must take our inheritance and our birthright seriously. The writer of the Hebrews brings Esau into the mix of talking about, you know, sanctification, not missing the grace of God, not missing what God has called you up to. Isn't it interesting? The gospel calls men to be transformed, calls men to be changed, calls men to be sons of God. But in many sections of America, the gospel has been turned into a license to sin and an excuse as to why we can never obtain to the things God asks. Isn't that bizarre? That the very inheritance found in the gospel for us, it's misunderstood, and in a way God's become the big dear Abby and he understands all things, even if you're a treacherous rebel all your life. And it's just not the way it does. But there's a thing here that you've got to see, guys, and there's a thing here that you need to understand. Now we're gonna move on here, because now what happens? Verse 42, actually. I mean 30. Now it came about, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau's brother came in from his hunting. Then he also made savory food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." Isaac, his father, said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was he then that hunted game and brought it to me so that I ate of all of it before you came and blessed him? And yes, and he shall be blessed." Two things going on. Isaac already sold his birthright. So think about this for a second. This story is told about Jacob, yet Esau is going to bless the firstborn. Esau actually sold and despised his birthright, but he's still running in there to his dad to get the blessing. And it's not going to happen. That's why when the book of Hebrews says, "See to it that you do not come short of the grace of God," one thing that the gospel does not do is say, live your entire life in abject rebellion to your heavenly Father since you've been born again and it'll all work out. The scripture does warn about not taking lightly your inheritance. But check this out. He tells him this. Then Isaac trembled violently, verse 33, and said, "Who was then he that hunted game and brought it to me so that I ate all of it before you came and blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, oh my father." You know, it just didn't go that way. And what you're seeing, this isn't the blessing of his father, you know. That ability to give, that Esau sells his birthright. He cares about an advantage, but not an inheritance. Are you listening to me? He cares. He wants to be blessed. He wants to have cattle. He wants to prosper. But he cares about simply an advantage in life versus his inheritance. Because an inheritance has rules. An unfair advantage is just an unfair advantage. And if you look at his attitude, Esau, you truly are seeing that God picked wisely. Now, somebody would argue and go, "I don't know. You had Jacob lying to his father. I get all that." But you also had Esau despising his birthright. In fact, that word Jacob, it's like to mean conniver. It's a supplanter. That's actually his original name, what it means. And you look at this, and he just wants a blessing. And he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing." Then he said to him, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times." So Esau's actually acknowledging that he sold his birthright. Are you guys getting a picture of how much Esau despises his inheritance and his birthright? It's actually pretty radical. And his reaction to his father shows just how negligible. One thing I want to tell you, and I will always try to hold your feet to the fire, you will go through many things in your life. You will have failures. You will have successes. But let us never be negligible. Let us never be nonchalant or lackadaisical. It's a dangerous thing. We never want to do it. We want to get into the inheritance. He says, "He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Wrong. You sold your birthright, which means you also sold your blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? But Isaac replied to Esau, behold, I have made him your master, and all his relatives I have given to him as servants, and with grain and new wine I have sustained him. Now as for you, then, what can I do, my son? There was a divine order here. It wasn't just Isaac. This has to do with the God of Abraham and Isaac and soon to come Jacob. And there's a divine order here that you can't just rearrange it, guys. There are eternal rules that you just can't simply violate, and it's all right. And the funny thing, it's really important to understand that there are boundaries. There are things that can hurt you. I mean, we learn this in life, am I right? If you drive your car into a wall, it probably gets wrecked. If you throw yourself out of a plane without a parachute, you die. Well, the laws of gravity as far as spiritual, the Word of God, there is plenty of laws of gravity. And Esau's just, hey, he just wants this. Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, oh my father. So Esau lifted his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, now check out what he's going to say. Behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. But it shall come about when you become restless that you will break his yoke from your neck. So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. So at this point, guys, we're in a situation. Jacob's going to get the blessing. I want to say something, though, and I don't want to take away from whoever's sharing on this chapter. We know also, what is one of the rarest things that does, can anybody tell me that Jacob does? There's a story with Jacob coming up that is, it's rare. It's only Jacob does it. Anybody?
The ladder. Wrestle with God.
Right. He wrestles with God. He wrestles with God and he prevails. So here's the other part. The young, unformed, immature Jacob, the supplanter, even the deceiver, there is a part in his being that will be honed by God and used by God. And he is going to wrestle with God and prevail. In fact, the Lord's going to have to touch his finger and dislocate his hip socket to stop him from fighting. Now, this is a story we will save for whoever's sharing this chapter, but I bring this up to bring a point, and again, I believe there's an emphasis from the Lord here. You know, there's these beings, we human beings, and God looks at us and he calls us, and there's this rough diamond in the rough with all kinds of flaws, all kinds of issues, and yet there is in that very being of Jacob's, he's going to be the one that wrestles with God and prevails. He is the one that is going to wrestle with God and prevail. So when you really look at this thing as it's panning out and you see Jacob, you go, man, what a deceiver. You know what I mean? Gets his brother to sell his birthright. Well, if his brother had integrity, he wouldn't have sold his birthright. Am I correct? Jacob could be called the deceiver, but his brother negligently sold his entire birthright. But the thing is, God has you as diamonds in the rough. And what happens is you look at us in our immature states. You know, and we're growing up and we come to the Lord with this baggage and there's flaws, there's character flaws. Everybody actually has character flaws. I don't care who you are. But God takes the diamond in the rough and he says, this man is going to wrestle with me and prevail. And he has this diamond in the rough in Jacob. And when you look at the future, Esau and Jacob, Jacob absolutely becomes that full man of God and a patriarch of Israel. And it matters horribly much. Now, verse 42. Now, when the words of the elder son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. So at this point, Esau has a plan. I'm really ticked. I lost the blessing. You know, if you listen to what Isaac speaks over Esau, it's not exactly the blessing you'd want to take home. But he does have a plan that makes him feel good. I will kill him, and that will help some of my frustration. But Mom kicks into action again. Here we go. Mom's on the move. Rebecca's on the move. She's going to protect Jacob. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee to Haran, to my brother Laban. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides. Until your brother's anger against you subsides and he forgets what you did to him. Then I will send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of you both in one day? Now, you might ask, what's that mean? Meaning, he's saying both. If he kills you, as it says in the Golism and in the word, the destroyer will kill Esau. So if Esau vents, guys, and he kills Jacob, he will also be killed for killing Jacob. So basically, she's saying, listen, if he pulls off this plan, I am going to lose both my sons. I'll be bereaved of both sons. Both will die. First he'll kill you, then you will be killed. This is why she says, I don't want to be denied both of you in one. I don't want that to happen. So she sends him to her brother Laban, his uncle. And I want you to read on a little more. And she says to stay with him a few days, you know, until your brother's fury subsides. A lot of scholars took issue with this and said, you know, Rebecca's just so out of it. Does she actually think a few days would really cut the mustard? And quite frankly, she's in a rush. She doesn't want Esau to kill Jacob. She's trying to get him out of there. So too many people made a deal out of the fact that she said, stay a few days. I don't think she was thinking that at all. But I think she was trying to get Jacob out of there super fast. Rebekah said to Isaac, I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like these from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? This is a key secret here, okay? The daughters of Heth, they are not to intermarry with them, but what it means is Esau had been messing with the daughters of Heth. And what it means is Esau was already a burden to his mom. He was already messing around. He was already mingling. God only knows what else. And the point that she's bringing up is, yeah, she doesn't want her son, the one that's not running around with the daughters of Heth. She wants Jacob to marry the way he should. She wants Jacob, who is, you know, one of the 12 patriarchs, you know, he's the father, you know, the patriarchs. And we look at this and we understand that she's sending him away and she's trying to redeem something here. Now, when you look at this, I want you to think about something. From even what she says, it already indicates Esau is an immoral person. Esau is godless. That's actually what you're reading. And you don't have to read into the text to understand it. That's why I read you the little snippet from Hebrews, because sometimes New Testament scriptures shine a light into Old Testament stories that gives a greater definition. But here's what we know. A godless and an immoral person was Esau. And I will say this even further. Esau was definitely not the man to get the blessing of Isaac. Jacob was. See, Jacob might have deceived to get the blessing, but from what we read even in Hebrews, Esau was totally godless. So the brother might have pulled the fast one to get the blessing of God, but one thing we do know about Jacob, he did have a kind of a righteousness about him, and God shapes him. But this is interesting because a lot of grief, apparently, and basically, Rebecca's saying, you know what, Isaac, Rebecca said, you know, she wants Jacob to marry the right, you know what I mean? She wants Jacob to do it right, because Esau has been doing it wrong. So it's interesting when you get two brothers. You know, Jesus, remember when he said, sometimes the latter will serve, you know, will be blessed. The guys that came in the harvest at the end of the day, they got paid the same wages as the guys that were there the whole day. And remember the laborers said, they were bad. How could you do that? We were here all day. And what does the master say? We already agreed for what money you would make. Is it not my choice to give the guys that came the last 2 hours, even though you worked eight, they worked two? Isn't it, you get what I'm saying, guys? The Lord says, hey, it's in that parable, he goes, isn't it my business if I'm generous and I want to pay it? He's totally right, isn't it? If I made an agreement with you to pay you an amount and you agreed to the amount, it's none of your business if I want to pay the guy that worked 2 hours the same amount I gave you. I know in this offense world we would be, that's not fair, that's not fair. You know what I'm saying? I get that. But I've seen this in the Lord too, where many times people think they've put the work in or they've did this and they don't get it. You know what I'm saying? And why is this guy getting blessed? And you want to stay out of that stuff. The master, the father, the creator of the universe, the savior whom you are part of, we are God's possession. He has got a call on you and made a specific thing for you. And the bottom line is that that's great. But I pray the one thing you learn is, you know, it's interesting. You are diamonds in the rough. We all are in a way. Some of us have been here longer in the Lord, some of us shorter, but none of that is really that. The point is we are growing in the Lord. There is a beautiful time. God is breaking us out of the confines, I believe, of certain things that have held us before. There is a fire coming. A lot of times when you say fire, people jump around and get enthusiastic. And I got to tell you something. The fire of God, when it gets in your soul and it burns your being, it isn't enthusiasm. That's nothing. It's nothing. Enthusiasm is great, but God is going to send a fire, and there's going to be constraints that are going to begin to be broken. There are saints that have struggled. They have cried out, and God is going to free up some stuff that's going to blow your mind. It's coming. It's coming really soon. And I want to say this as we're closing up tonight. Be really careful. We're in a season that is outstanding. Even this isolation time, use it for the Lord. Don't sit around twiddling your thumbs. Use it. There's things you can do right now that are special. And if you will take the time, God will speak to you during this season in powerful ways. But I do believe there is a fire. Let's all rise and close in prayer today. You know what's interesting? I know sometimes we like that even flow, you know, in service and worship and word. And I'm going to tell you something. God moves sometimes in such profound ways, whether you think you're feeling it or not. But this season is special. It's special. The heavens are pouring out. The heavens are not short. Father, as we dismiss tonight, we look up at this is one of the oddest stories in the scripture because the house of Jacob, the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the three names that will be used till the end of time. And out of that, we get the 12 tribes of Israel. So this is such a crucial thing. Might we take confidence today? Life, Lord, I'd love to say, you know, it's like a test. If you pass all the answers, you get the prize. But in you, we're growing. And there will be hit and miss. There will be failure. But you will discipline us as your children. You will chastise us as it is needed. And you will bring sons to obedience. That's exactly what you're doing. Even in this time, Lord, we don't want to be running around like chickens with our head cut off. We want to know the fullness, Father. The fullness, God, of what you're doing. Lord, I am excited tonight. Lord, we're in seclusion and members are home and we get all that, but you're pouring out on new lifers, not just in this room, even as we have had people listening to the recordings. Melissa has joined us for service. I'm grateful for that. We are reaching out to you as we dismiss tonight. And Father, it is not a little thing what you are doing, but Father, you want to show us great and wonderful things. So as we go tonight, I pray you pour out your breath. You breathe your breath upon everyone in this room. Breathe your breath upon Melissa. Breathe your breath upon every member as we close this off tonight, Father. Might we declare the word? I believe there are blessings. And I don't mean just lifting somebody up. There are things of power we're going to speak into people that will change lives. True blessings. Lord, we look at this oddity of Isaac's ability to speak a blessing. And that wasn't just an encouraging word. That was life. He was prophesying. He was speaking the things that would come. And there's a sense of elevation. Even as he speaks it out, there's a supernatural reaction. Lord, we're in some ways, we're sometimes just too young to hear this stuff because we've not matured to the point to really understand it. We're behind the curve in some of this. Lord, I'm a man of many words, and at times transgression has been unavoidable, just like the scripture says. But you begin to teach us, you begin to teach me. Of all the people I know, I'd be the most likely to fail because of my words. But you're disciplining and you're dealing with your people, and you're going to strain our language out, and you're going to teach us how to speak properly, and you're going to teach us to reserve our mouth for the good stuff. Because we're going to value. And Lord, this isn't just a human discipline that we're going to try real hard tonight. We're going to go home and try harder tomorrow. This is something of your spirit, the victory. This is something of the fire from your altar, by your throne. It is coming in your people. And we we approach tonight humbly, and we say, Lord, you know, you're going to make it to where we are going to be speaking the blessing of the Lord upon people, and they're going to actually see elevation. But cause us to grow in maturity, because I feel like sometimes we're thrashing about like small children. And I my sense is that you're raising up men and women. You're turning babies into boys and boys into men. Infants into girls and girls into women. You are bringing about a birthing process and a maturing process that will be accelerated. It will not work slowly. It'll be accelerated in this span of time. So we pray your blessing tonight, Father. Help us to bless each other, Father. Help us to bless each other, Father. Move us and keep our heart pliable tonight. In the name of Jesus, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. Bless every person that will hear this, Lord. And Lord, I don't necessarily come out and say I'm an awesome teacher, speaker. That's not the point. But I do believe you've said many things tonight in this very message. And use it, Father, for your glory. Use it, Father, for your glory. Might we speak the oracles of God. Teach us more, Lord. None of us feels like we've arrived at the station. We're in training. But tonight, bless us as we go forth in Jesus' mighty name.